Muy buenas tardes y buenas noches en los lugares donde ya es de noche.
Good afternoon and good evening in places where it's evening. To all the brothers and sisters gathered in different countries, today, Friday, July 12th of this year 2024. And also there where the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin is, in the congregation that the Reverend Antonio Chiarello pastors in Quito, Ecuador. For this occasion, our subject is the sower, sowing the seed of the word, preached on Sunday, April 24, 2016, in South Salvador, El Salvador. The sower, which is the subject that we have for today, there where it says, the sower. In the Bible study, he writes, Christ, the Son of Man. The sower, who is the sower? Well, the Son of Man. The sower sowing the seed of the word. He read to us the scripture of Matthew chapter 13. He began in verse 13. Let us turn to verse 18, where it tells us of chapter 13. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, and he writes the gospel of Christ there on top of it, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. On that verse 19, he draws a Star of David, and he also writes there, in that sentence where it says, and understandeth it not, he writes, he doesn't understand. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet he had not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. In other words, when the persecution comes because of the message, then he is stumbles, and there Brother William writes, he's a coward. That is, he flees away like a coward for everything that the message causes him. He goes on and leaves because he says, I don't want to be persecuted, so I'd rather go. But notice, those are cowards. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and brings forth some at 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And since it is sown in the good ground, there he draws a Star of David to the right, and he writes, those who understand. And he also draw a cornerstone and the ages below. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. There he draw a Star of David on the right. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst now thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? There he drew a Star of David and the cornerstone and the ages. He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The sower is sowing the seed of the word. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, the trial in this Bible study that was prepared for him on this occasion, and there we placed for him these scriptures and portions. And on page 11 of this Bible study, there where I placed the subject, the trial, in that excerpt, it says, he wants you this, call this court's attention again, that is, the defense witness. He wants to call to this court and show you that the promises is only to believers. And there in that place on the side, he writes, the promises are only for believers, not make believers, impatient or skeptics. Changes the picture, doesn't it? It's only not to what people that call themselves believers. It is to believers only, not to who say they are believers. Satan says he is a believer too, you know. It's not to them. It's only to real believers. And this defense witness ought to know whether these men are believers or not. Because after all, the defense witness is the quickener of the word itself. There he writes, it's the Holy Spirit, the defense witness, the quicker of the word. He knows whether you believe or not. He is the one that's been given by God to make it come to pass. Hallelujah. He is the one that proves that. He is the one what makes it come to pass. He is the one who knows whether it fell in the right place or not. This defense witness for the word. Notice, he wants to call again to the believers. The defense witness knows whether it is or not. He is the quickener of the word. Now notice how, in past ages, they did not have the knowlede of what was wheat and what was tares. Because even the messengers themselves, represented in those servants, when they ask, that is, to the householder, in that parable, they ask him if he wanted them to root up the tares. The father answers them, no, lest you gather up the wheat also. In other words, they did not have the revelation, and therefore, they did not have the ministries to carry out that work in the ages. In other words, during the dispensation of grace. But notice that after the door of the dispensation of grace closes, which we have seen that in the year 2018, at the end, he was telling us already, and in several years prior to that, that the door of the dispensation of grace was about to close, and the work of the reaping angels would be carried out in a new dispensation for the wheat to enter into that new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, for the wheat to be placed there, not for the tares to be brought into the dispensation of the kingdom. Therefore, at the end of the dispensation of grace, He promised to send the reaping angels to make that separation, that segregation. And that ministry does know who is wheat and who is tares. Now notice how the elect of God, by being in the dispensation of the kingdom and being placed in the dispensation of the kingdom by those ministries, they know which spirit they belong to. Those people who have entered into the dispensation of the kingdom, and also to which spirit belong those who have not entered, because they have that prophetic insight which God gave to them since before the foundation of the world, because we are the attributes of God, and by being manifested on earth, it is like a switch that God turns on. What each person has there in his heart, which was sown by the word, by the message. That is why when he speaks to us in many previous messages, where he told us about the seven thunders and he spoke to us about the dispensation of the kingdom and about the rapturing faith and the title deed and all that was showing both Brother Branham as our Brother William, they were both showing us what would happen in the future. And those who have no prophetic insight take that and quickly say, look, that's already, it was already fulfilled by that. Or there is nothing more, there is nothing else. That's what many thought and think of Brother Branham's message, that after what he spoke, no more prophets would come. And that then, with the message and with the messenger, the Reverend William Branham, with that, God has finished his work and they are still waiting for him. Likewise, there are many at this time who are thinking the same about our Brother William. That is all over after him and they are waiting for him to come back. But see, the same thing is repeated again. And they do not see that the prophets speak being inspired by God, because it is the Spirit of Christ in them. And they speak as if in them those words were fulfilled, those prophecies, those revelations that they were bringing to the people in their time. Now, notice how the people of God today, they know and understand what spirit each person is by their fruits. Before, it seemed like everyone was the same, but inside another seed had been sown by the enemy. But notice that it was watered, because the rain falls on both the wheat and the tares, and it is watered by the rain, and they all grow, they bear fruit. But in the fruit is where you know of which spirit they are, which seed they were from. Now, he continues saying in that message, and again he calls this court's attention to the word of the promise that's in question. He never set any certain time for these things to happen. See how they can misread the word to you? Now, these guys that say, let me see this happen. You see, they don't even read the word right. That is, if the man is a true believer, he still never set any time limit. He also wants the court to remember that this word is written, and Jesus Christ, the word manifested, said, the word is a seed that a sower sowed, and the seed can only produce itself, produce its promise, if it's in the right kind of a ground that will quicken the seed. Amen. Kind of changing the case, aren't we? It's got to be in the right place. And there he writes, the seed has to be on the right ground, right place. A grain of seed laying on this desk will never grow a harvest. A grain of corn on here in Bluestone will do nothing. A grain of corn has got to fall into the ground that's been fertilized for that grain of corn, or it will not grow. And God said that his word is a seed that a sower sowed, and it must fall in the right kind of soil. That soil is faith. It's a seed, and it must fall into this ground, or it cannot be quickened. In other words, the Holy Spirit, defense witness here, says that he can't even come to it until it falls in the right kind of soil. He is the quickener of it. There he draws three circles, a small one, a medium one, and a large one. In other words, notice, the soul, which is where the seed is sown. Soul, spirit, and body. Because the human being is triune. Now notice. Page 17 of this study, in the message of this excerpt that I put here, Wisdom versus Faith, Brother Branham says, all right, notice, he says some went forth. When the seed went forth, preached the word. Some fell by the wayside, and there he puts number one. Just like the water on a duck's back runs right off. Just like the water on duck's back runs right off. Some fell upon rocky ground, stony, and he writes number two. He had just a little dust that blowed up there and sprung up, but it didn't have no roots, no place to put its roots. Now, I'm going to make illustrations here, and I hope I don't hurt no feelings. See? He writes on the side, three types of people who hear the word. That was the church. And I hope I don't hurt no feelings. See? That was the Catholic Church. They said they was built on a rock. I'll agree with them. I sure will agree with them. That's right. That's right. No earth under it. At all. No earth on it to grow from. Why? They couldn't produce a Bible vitamin because they don't even believe in it. Their doctrine is dogmas. That's right. Roman dogmas. No word in it. At all. See? Fell upon rocks. That was a super wisdom. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, they had it in a super way. They presented in a way of psychology and great big building and fine dress looked like holy gods of priests and everything else. How many heard that testimony of that little nun that just got out? You got it here? I want that played some Wednesday night here at church, and every person here should have the testimony. One of them followed me for a long time. I went down there in Mexico myself, and I seen them lying pits where them nuns' babies, when the priest would have them by them, babies, where they was burnt in them lying pits, and things like that. That's what made communism spring up in Mexico. And he writes, Mexico, communism. They broke up that tommy rot. That's what made the communism spring up yonder. Don't you never fear communism. God is using communism. I don't believe in it. It's of the devil. But God takes the devil and comes right back around like he did King Nebuchadnezzar. And come over and got Israel, see? Yep. You watch and see if the Bible don't prove it. One of these days, we'll go into it. God raised it right up to avenge the children of God on that old whore. That's exactly what the Bible said. Yep, said, they'll burn her with fire and she'd come to the end of her doom. That's exactly what's going to happen to her too. There she is. That's the one that fell upon rocks. Just so little of soil till the thing couldn't grow. It died. Then, that was super wisdom. Then some fell on the Protestant ground, but after a while, the great wisdom of the big denominations choked the spirit out. Days of miracle is past. Dr. So-and-so said so-and-so, see? No such a thing. Just perfect. Choke it all. Choke it all the what? Out. Choke out the Spirit for the wisdom, see? The Holy Spirit fell in the days of Martin Luther. The Holy Spirit fell in the days of John Wesley. The Holy Spirit fell in the days of the early Pentecostal church. But what's the denominations done? With their wisdom have choked it out. Choke out what? The seed. What is the seed? The word. It doesn't mean that. It means this there. That's what people say. It doesn't mean that. It means this here, see? Then get it? Now, many honest-hearted men of those ministers, I met them, sat down and talked to them, even on the subject of baptism and many things. I've asked anybody to come to discuss it. They said, Brother Branham, if we'd do that, our church would put us out. I said, who? Who is more to you, the Word of God or your church? You'll never go no further in that dust of denomination. See? See? All right. If he denies the Word, it's wrong. See? It shows it's man-made wisdom. Now, the Protestants got choked out. It choked the Spirit right out of them. When they begin to take wisdom instead of faith in the Word, the wisdom in the organizational wisdom instead of faith in the Word. All that understand that, say Amen. And he writes, faith in the Word. Faith in what the group of men of the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Evangelical, and all got together. And soon they're to form up a confederation of church, which will be the image of the beast. And there to the right he writes, the confederation of churches equals the image of the beast. And he will have the same power in this nation. Revelation 13:11. Now, be attentive and watchful of what is about to happen there in North America with these current elections and all the movement that will be carried out, because it will all lead to the image of the beast. Remember that he spoke to us in the book of the ages. Let us see where it says about that sixth vision. In the 70 weeks of Daniel also tells us about that. But let us see here in the book of the ages. On this one here, page 322, then in the sixth vision, there arose up in America a most beautiful but cruel woman. Notice, very cruel. She held the people in her complete power. I believe that this was the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, though I knew it could possibly be a vision of some woman rising in great power in America due to a popular vote by women. There where it says America, he writes USA. Let us see here in the Red Book, to see what he also writes here, where it says, in the sixth vision, there arose up in America, he writes Revelation 13, and he writes to the left, the image of the beast. There you can see that image of the beast rising in North America. Now, notice, it could literally be a woman that by the feminine vote may reach presidency, or it could be the Catholic Church or both. In other words, where it is fulfilled, however it is fulfilled, that's how it is. Therefore, let us have our eyes wide open regarding all those things, because those are signs that show us that we are already reaching the end of the fulfillment of those seven visions, which two remain, because the seventh, he continues to say, says, the last and seventh vision was wherein I heard a most terrible explosion, and as I turned to look, I saw nothing but debris, craters, and smoke all over the land of America. And he writes, explosion. And above explosion, he writes, atomic. The last and seventh vision was wherein I heard a most terrible explosion. To the right here on this one, he writes, seventh vision, the destruction of USA. And I turned to look, I saw nothing but debris, craters, and smoke all over the land of America. And he writes, USA, there at the end. And here in the red one, he writes, where it says, as I turned to look, he writes, Elijah was not in the USA. He was in Latin America and the Caribbean. In other words, where was the ministering spirit of Elijah in his fifth manifestation? In Latin America. In other words, notice that these two last visions, they are either right after one another, or there may also be a time determined by God between the sixth vision and the seventh vision. But it is short. Whatever time it is short. In other words, what we desire is that sixth vision is fully fulfilled, because we know that what comes after that in the seventh is an atomic destruction upon North America. And that then belongs to the Great Tribulation, because the divine judgments of the Great Tribulation will not touch the church bride. She will already be, for that time, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Therefore, we hope that there is a very short time left after that sixth vision is fulfilled, because we know that what comes after that is destruction. It is like when our brother William said that after the tenth vision, the fulfillment of the tenth vision, there is nothing else. And that is why he said, we want the tenth vision to be fulfilled. And notice how we are already in that stage, which is the most important one of the entire stage of the tenth vision, of all the entire third pool. The part we are at now is the most important one, because it is the one where the church bride is receiving the rapturing faith. And after that, it is then for the foolish and for the Hebrew people to look and see that vindication that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is in the midst of the church bride, and therefore, there is where the Hebrew people will say, but this is the one we are waiting for. What is he doing over there? Of which on page 22, on the book of quotations, paragraph 176, below that paragraph it says, the same thing those Jews will have, that great time of trouble just before the coming now, of the persecution running them back into their homeland, issuing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride, and they see him, they'll say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings. Now, all those prophecies have to be fulfilled at this time, because we are at the time of the fulfillment of those visions and prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet. Some are being fulfilled, and the ones that are left will be fulfilled at this end time. Now, he continues to say in the message that we are reading, Wisdom versus Faith, And he will have the same power in this nation, Revelation 13:11, that they had over there, and will cause a persecution upon the saints, just like they did at the beginning, the Roman Church, see? That's where it's heading right up now. And that's why the word is being sold right now everywhere. Stay away from it. Get out of it. See? Now, wisdom choked it out. Their own wisdom strangled the Holy Spirit away from them. Let me prove it to you in the Bible. Revelation, the third chapter, where we just got through the church ages, Jesus had been strangled from his church and was on the outside trying to knock on the door to get back in. Brother Branham knocks on the pulpit. That's exactly what it said. I stand at the door and knock. If any man will thirst, if he'll just let me in, I'll come. But nobody opened the door, see? They put him out. What was it? They had the seed fell on them, see? See? But some fell in the valley of persecution. Some seed went over into the valley of persecution. Now, in the valley is where you find the water, the best soil. When you take somebody, has been beat down till he's got all the theology beat out of him, laughed out of him, made fun of him, where he's been through the mills and ground it all out of him, till the metal had been ready to work, you'll find out there is some moisture around there, that's right, into the valley. That fellow has been pinched over into the valley, kicked out of his organization. He's down in the dumps, they call it, see? Not the dumps, but the valley, we're taught. Down in the valley, you know, that's where the lily grows, too. You know, that's right, see? In the valley. All right, some fell in the valley of persecutions, hard trial. Some of them seed fell in there, valley of persecution, hard trials. Be called everything like the lily was called Beelzebub, made fun of. But in this valley is the rivers of water. Now, notice here in this message that he preached, our brother William Soto Santiago preached on August 27, 1999, in Topo Chico, Monterrey, Mexico. He titled it, The Blessing of the Tree That Produces a Hundredfold. He tells us, this is a subject that at first you should see it, and perhaps you think there is not much to it, much in it, but there is a lot, because Jesus himself spoke of the sowing and reaping. He spoke of the human beings as trees. He spoke of his church, his children as wheat, and he also spoke of the children of the wicked ones as the tares. So, this subject has a lot of importance, and at this time it has a very great importance, because this is the time when a harvest must be carried out. Therefore, this is the time when all the trees must have fruit, good fruit, because the tree that does not bring forth good fruit will be hewed down and cast into the fire. John says the same in the third chapter of Matthew. On the 10th verse, the apostle, in other words, John the Baptist, let me correct this, John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, the forerunner of the first coming of the Lord with the spirit and power of Elijah in his third manifestation, says, and now, also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And Jesus also spoke to us about this, referring to the human beings as trees. On chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 17, it says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That's what we talk about at the beginning, that the fruit of each tree, that's how you know if it's wheat or tares. Now, our brother William continues to say, and the first fire at the last day that they receive is the fire of the Great Tribulation. And all the fire that comes during the Great Tribulation, volcanic fire, atomic fire, and all the fire that ignites there as divine judgment, that is for the trees that do not bear good fruit, which cannot go to the marriage supper of the Lamb with Christ, and which cannot be, therefore, transformed to have a new body. In this study, there is also the excerpt of the message, The Anointed Ones at the End Time, where it tells us here on page 8 of this study, it says on this excerpt, subject The Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham says, a man shall not live by bread alone, for the physical, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then you see, we live by the word, and that is God. Now the sun comes across and ripens the grain. Now he cannot ripen it all at once. And he goes on maturing. It constantly ripens until it comes to a full ear. So it is today with the church. It started in its infancy back in the dark age where it was under the ground. Is growth now into maturity, and we can see it perfectly how that God through nature always, you cannot disturb nature. There he writes, you should not disturb nature. That's what's the matter today. We're flying bombs and out there in that ocean, breaking it and busting it around with atomic bombs. There he writes, atomic bombs in the ocean, breaking up the earth. With those tests that they do in the ocean, and they do not know that they are doing serious harm to the earth. They're just breaking more of that dirt off all the time, dropping into it. You go down the trees, storms will take you. Dam up the river, it'll overflow. You've got to find God's way of doing things and stay in it. We've denominated people in the churches and organizations. Look what we got. Stay in God's provided way of it. But you see, he sends the rain. Back to our subject on the just and the unjust. Jesus tells you here now in Matthew 24, it will be a sign at the end time. Now, if this sign is only to be known at the end time, then it'll have to be after the opening of the seals. See? It's a sign of the end. That would be when these things happen, it'll be at the end time, and it'll be a sign. Now, so the elect will not be confused in these things. You see it? Then it's got to be revealed, exposed. To expose what? The wheat and the tares. So that they are not confused like they were confused in the ages. Notice, both the wheat and the weeds live by the same anointing from heaven. Both of them rejoice over it. Now, let us read something here. Because, notice, what Jesus spoke to us in that parable of the wheat and the tares. And what he told us about the weeds. Notice, on verse 26 of chapter 13, he spoke to us there where he says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now, notice with what Brother Branham compares the tares. Which comes from among the blade. Page 60. From the Book of Quotations, now we would have to read this vision here to have a more clear picture here about the wheat and the tares. Paragraph 527. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I suppose, and I had gotten up, and I looked where in front of me, and I was coming down to the Jordan. Looked like I was standing on the map of Palestine. And I was coming down to the Jordan, and to the left he draws a Star of David. Then he writes Jordan, to the left side he wrote it upward. And seems like I could hear the song, I'm going down to Jordan. Someone was singing it. And as I drew near the river, I looked back and seen which way I had come. And I was two-thirds of the way there to the Jordan. And to the left, he draws Star of David. And I look across Jordan and said, oh, praise God. Just on the other side is where all the promises lay. Every promise lays in the promised land. And there he drew a cornerstone and the Star of David below on the right. A cornerstone and a Star of David. And above he writes, Jordan equals death. Palestine equals all the promises. And below, narrow highway. In other words, he writes those three sentences on top of that paragraph. Jordan equals death. Palestine equals all the promises. Narrow highway. And then I came to myself. Then when I come into the vision again, it seemed that I was lifted up and sitting on a highway, a narrow highway, with some brother. I never knew who the brother was. And to the right he draws a Star of David. You already know who the brother is. And to the left, with some brother, there he underlines all of that. And he brings that same line out to the left. And there he points out to a Star of David that he drawed. I look around and I say, now I'm sure and know this is a vision. The Lord God is here. Now, how does he know that God was there? Because the instrument in whom God was manifested was there. And seemed like everybody was afraid. I said, what's everybody so afraid of? And a voice came and said, there is such danger in these days. There's a great hideous thing that's death when it strikes you. And I heard the weeds mashing down. There you have the weed or blade. Now notice. While the rain was falling upon the tares and upon the wheat, or upon the wheat and the tares, it was not visible who was who. They were growing among the weeds, see, one and the other. But notice, in the ages, you could not define who was wheat and who was tares. And keep in mind this part about the blade or weeds and how he compares it here. In other words, there when I spoke and how he compares it here, I was talking about the Holy Spirit there. He told me to say that like that. And I heard the weeds mashing down, and I looked, and here come a huge monster snake crawling through the weeds. Notice where that serpent's trail. The old serpent, the devil, Satan, where is hiding? It was in the place where the wheat was sown, but it wasn't known that she was there uninvitedly in there, receiving the rain also. Now notice, where the tares are discovered, where the serpent's trail is discovered, in the narrow way. And I thought, now, knowing this is vision, now, if it is that monster snake crawling through the weeds, notice, the tares are the serpent's seed. Because he says there, in verse 26, on chapter 13, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth its fruit, then appeared the tares also. Therefore, the tares, it can be said there, that the serpent also appeared. Because we are back to Eden. Therefore, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, must also be there in the midst of the wheat. He says that the tares will sit with the wheat. There's a writing. Let's see if we go on looking for it. Must be in a message. Or right here in the book of quotations. Will sit. Or sits. Let us see. We will look for it later, but we have to read it. Let us continue here. I thought now, knowing this is vision, then I shall see what this animal or this beast is. And he crawled up on the highway, and there it is exposed, on that narrow highway. It is exposed. In other words, the devil is exposed. And as soon as I got sight of him, I knew it was a mamba. And the snake, of course, represents sin, death. And above, he writes, serpent equals sin, death equals 666. Let us see 1368. I was sent here the excerpt. Let us see if it's 1368. On page 153, Jesus said, at the end days, when the time is all over, there he draws to the left a cornerstone in the ages, and the great resurrection come, that many will come and sit down in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. Now notice, they will sit in the kingdom, that is in the dispensation of the kingdom, when that door is open, and they go in. See? Apparently it's everyone, we are going to go in, all of us. But what happened? Notice, many, the weeds will come. There we have the weeds again. Now we already know what the weeds are. The tares, the serpent. Many, the weeds will come and sit right down with the wheat. Say, now wait a minute, Lord, I spoke in tongues, I shouted, I danced in the spirit, I cast out devils, I spoke with tongues and done all these things. What he say? Notice, you workers of iniquity, I never even knew you. What is iniquity? Ask somebody. It's something that you know you ought to do, and you won't do it. They know that word. They hear it. And he writes, the impersonators. And to the right, he writes, the kingdom of God. He wrote it upwards. Now in the message, in this message also, On that portion, he writes, tares would sit with the wheat. Now, they know that word, they hear it, the impersonators. In other words, they hear. That is why in the Book of the Seals, where he tells us that they had been in services like this, they listened, that is, they heard all those things that those prophets had foretold. But what happened? They spurned the mercy of God for the last time. Now, on page 424, notice the last verse of the sixth seal opened. Those who had laughed at the preaching of the word, of the vindicated word of the living God. When the prophets had stood there and performed miracles, closed the sun and everything else, and all down through the age. See, they cried for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. See, to hide them from the word that they had laughed at. Because they see him come. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the word. See, they had laughed at the word, and here the word was incarnate. And they had made fun of it, laughed at them, made fun of them. And the incarnate word had dropped forth. And he writes, in the angel of Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Why? Because in the coming of the Son of Man, notice, he comes with his angels. And he writes to the right, the incarnate word. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. It was too far then. So they know that the punishment, they heard it. See that they had heard? They had sat in meetings like this and know about it. And they know that the things of those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face. And there to the left he writes, they had heard what was coming. The things that they had rejected. There he draws a cornerstone to the left. And he writes Revelation 19:11-16. The things that they had rejected, they had spurned mercy for the last time. And below that is where he writes Elijah and Moses, he who receives his message receives mercy. And also to the right, he writes, mercy for the last time. And when you spurn mercy, there is nothing left but judgment. When you spurn mercy, just think of it. And there they was. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said here, they call for the cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of the... And he writes, judge. Because notice, in his claiming work, he comes as Lion of the tribe of Judah as judge. From the face of the one sitting on the throne. And he writes, throne of David. That is, on his throne. And the throne of David is that final manifestation. That is the throne of David. As simple as that. And the wrath of the Lamb. He writes, Lion. They tried to repent, but the Lamb had come to claim his own, see? And they cried to the rocks and the mountains. And he writes, kingdoms and rulers. Prayed, but prayers were too late. And he writes, there was no blood on the mercy seat. They went there to look for mercy. Praying, asking for mercy. They went to the wrong throne. Because what there is there is a throne of judgment. Therefore, you go to the throne that you want to receive what there is in that throne. If you go to the throne of mercy, you will receive mercy. If you go to the throne of judgment, you will receive divine judgment. It depends on which throne you go to. With Elijah and Moses, claim. He wrote that to the left. And he also wrote the throne of David. Now notice what he goes on saying on page 60, paragraph 527. And as soon as I got sight of him, I knew it was a mamba. And the snake, of course, represents sin, death. So I looked at him, and he looked angry at me, and he licked his tongue, and here he come. But when he got right close to me, he would run up fast, and then he would get slower and slower, and just quiver and stop. And then something would hold him off. He couldn't bite me. Now notice that once that mamba was on the highway, you can then see what was moving among the weeds, and it was that serpent. But here it is already exposed. Notice how the tares are exposed and in what stage of the church they are exposed. At what stage of the church of the mystical body of Christ is that is seen and taken out by the reaping angels, because that ministry knows who is who. He knows how to take out the wheat and place it in the storehouse and place the tares in the great tribulation. As simple as that. And he would turn around. In other words, when I say, take the wheat out of the net and place it in the storehouse, that is the elect being placed in the age of the cornerstone and being prepared to receive the transformation and the rapture, and therefore being placed in the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the tares, to be placed in the great tribulation. Well, that's the easiest part. They do not receive the revelation, the rapture in faith. Therefore, they are not transformed, and automatically they stay in the great tribulation. In other words, they are placed in the divine judgment that will be falling on earth. Because by not being transformed, well, they will stay on earth and will receive the divine judgments. That is how they are placed in the great tribulation. By them not obtaining the transformation. Because, notice, they were going to a throne where the mercy of God was not there, and therefore the promises contained on that throne were not there. And he would turn around on the other side, try to approach from this side, and he would get back and get a start and switch right toward me, get slower and slower and slower, and then to a stop. And then he would shake like that and move back. He couldn't strike me. Then he turned and looked at my friend. And away he went after my friend. And I seen my friend just jumping way in the air, and the thing was striking at him. We talked a little bit about that yesterday in the words that I sent the pastors. And everything is going to be fully fulfilled. That which was partially fulfilled in past times is fully fulfilled at this time. I thought, oh, if he ever hits him, it'll be instant death. No wonder everybody is so scared, because when this thing hits you, it's an instant death. Why? If you go to Eden, back then, the old serpent, the devil Satan, which incarnated there in that leader or chief, he was the leader of that serpent race. Notice, he struck there. In other words, you already know what happened there in Eden. And that brought forth death. In other words, if that hits you, that's death. If you stick to the tree of life, it's life. It depends on which tree you, eat from. And let yourself be struck by it. We are on the side that the Holy Spirit hits in there, in the soul, in the heart. Notice, because we do know what that touch of God is going to bring forth. Life, which in His first coming, He gave us the theophanic body, we obtain salvation and eternal life. And by Him striking us in His second coming, we receive to live eternally. And it was just striking at Him like that. And I threw my hands up and I said, "Oh God, have mercy of my brother." Where is this happening? As I told you, in that narrow way, further up, where it is already in a new age and a new dispensation, where the people at the beginning of that dispensation is being prepared to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The rapturing faith is required to go there, and therefore an eternal and glorified body is required, and we are required to believe in the second coming of the Lord, just as it was in His first coming. To obtain the theophanic body, it was required to believe in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Son of Man, in that young carpenter of Nazareth named Jesus. I said, if that serpent ever strikes him, it'll kill him. And just then, the serpent turned to me when I said that, and it looked at me again, and a voice came from above me and said, now notice how when the serpent, the tares are identified, there comes the attack. That is that final attack. That the beast is and will continue to make and will fully make at the end. Why do I say is? Because both in the physical as well as in the spiritual, or in the spiritual as well as the physical, where a very big battle is taking place, which you may not see it with your naked eye. But in that spiritual realm, that fight, that battle, is going to be seen more and more noticeable here on earth. You have been given power to bind him, the worst or any. And I said, well, God, what must I do? He said, there is one thing you must do. You must be more sincere. See, you must be more sincere. I said, well, God, forgive me for my own sincerity, and let me have sincerity. And when I raised up my hands to him again, there was a great something came over me, just lift me up, seemed like that my whole body was charged with something. And I looked at the serpent, and then he started toward me, and he could do it yet. And I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you. And the serpent, a blue smoke flew out of him, and he curled up and made that sign like an S. Capital S, made backwards, and a sign E, and it means bind this one or anything below him, because he was the worst. There to the right, he makes an S. Blue smoke fell out of him, and his tail choked his own self to death around his head when he made this backward S, and there below he draws a backwards S. That and sign, like a conjunction, you see? And also to the left, he writes blue. Choke it to death, and the brother was free. And I went over and mashed on it. Now, there is something there. In that. Let us continue. And I said, now I've got to find out about this, because it's a vision. And I hit on the thing, and it turned like that, looked like a handle or a glass handle on a pitcher. And he writes there, it melted, and just made it solid crystal. And I said, think of that, how quick. That blue smoke was life. And everything is left it, all the elements, and it turned to glass. And he writes again, it melted. And just then a voice came again and said, you can unbind him also. So I said, then Satan, that I may know you, I unbind you. And when he did, he started coming to life again, wiggling. And I said, I bind you back in the name of Jesus Christ. There he drew a star of David, a cornerstone, and then another star of David to the left. And when he did, the smoke flew out of him again. And he choked himself right back again and turned to crystal. There to the left, he writes blue smoke, and to the right, blue smoke, upward. In the blue, that is, in the part where it says further up, that blue smoke was life, there he writes blue, that is, blue smoke, and the blue is right next to that sentence, and turned to crystal. And then when he did that, that voice said, now you must be more sincere than what you are to do this. And to the left he drew a Star of David. Then he left me. Years ago, when I seen the Bible come down, I got it wrote right here. He writes Revelation 10, 7 and on. Come down, and a hand come from heaven and pointed down to Joshua and read the first 9 verses and stopped there. That's Joshua come to the wilderness, but never did. He was ready too. When he got near Jordan, God called him out, said, this day I'll begin to magnify you before the people. And then he took the children of Israel across Jordan to the land where gave them, divided to them, the promised land. And there he draws Star of David to the left. And he writes above, this day. Now there you can see all of this. This vision is showing us here what those tares among the weeds are, which is the old serpent, the devil, in other words, the serpent's trail, to say it more plainly. Now, he goes on to say, where we stopped, here in the study that we are reading from this message, the blessing of the tree that produces 100-fold. Later on, you can continue reading from this message, the anointed of the last days. Because later on there, he continues to speak to us about what it produces, and he gives examples of fruit. Later you can read it. This was spoken in a study. What he continued to say in that message, the anointed of the last day, you can have it there. I was reading from there. It is on page 11 to 13 on that message, but it is in a study where he spoke of the orange tree. Now he goes on to say in this Bible study, remember that the harvest is in the summer. And that is why Christ, speaking to us about the coming of the kingdom of God and the Son of Man coming with his angels in his kingdom, speaks to us about summer. Now, we are at a time when the parable of the wheat and the tares has to be fulfilled, and the harvest has to be carried out. And it is very important that each person be harvested as wheat, as a son or daughter of God. After the harvest is carried out, and the dead in Christ resurrect in eternal bodies, and we are transformed and go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, many will say, as Jeremiah said in chapter 8, verse 20, and let us read it so it's recorded. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That will be the cry of those who will be left on earth for the great tribulation. But the elect will be able to say, when the harvest is over, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we were saved. He comes to save us, as he came in his first coming. Now, how will he come to save us in his second coming? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In other words, what is he coming for in his second coming? To save us as well. To save us from the great tribulation. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we were saved. And we have been transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is, notice, he comes to save us. On page 91 in the book of quotations, paragraph 785 says, the word of God is a seed, and when it's sowed, it'll take life, it will produce just what it's talking about. If it doesn't, then it isn't God's seed, or the sower didn't know how to sow it. He wasn't sent of God to sow seeds. He might be sowing them on top of a rock or something, see? So the sower sowing the seed, God takes care of it. It falls in the right place. And down there he writes, the sower is the Son of Man. And he writes above, the seed of the spoken word produces what was spoken. And up there, to the left of that writing, he also draws a cornerstone and the ages and a star of David. And to the right, also on that paragraph, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. I continue reading from the study. It was in the time of the harvest that Joshua crossed over Jordan with the people, which we read there in that excerpt of the book of quotations. After Brother Branham is speaking about that vision, he tells us about Joshua. In other words, that after what he saw from that grave danger, see, that is the squeeze, which God was showing Brother Branham there in that vision, where death, represented there in that serpent, which also represents Jordan, which is death, would be threatening and trying to strike the church bride, mainly the messenger, the instrument. And then notice that he speaks to us of Joshua passing the people over on dry land. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit bringing the people into the promised land. Notice on one hand, we see the woman rising in North America, and then we see craters and smoke upon North America, upon the image of the beast. And we see on the other hand, in this vision, the attack, the squeeze, that is near, and it will get stronger and stronger all the time, and at the end, being placed in the promised land. There you see the two ways. One leads to destruction, and the other one leads to the promised land of the new body. It was in the time of the harvest that Joshua crossed over Jordan with the people. Jordan would overflow in the time of harvest. And that was the time, according to Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, when God commanded to pass over Jordan with the people. And God was with them, and the ark of the Lord went first. And now notice, the ark of the Lord has to go first, along with the priest that carry it, and the people behind at certain distance. And when the priest touched the water of Jordan with their feet, Jordan parted open, and Jordan represents death. Now notice that God was there with Joshua and with the people. So to, through Joshua, bring the people on dry ground into the promised land. And God was there. Because in order for God to manifest himself, he has to use a veil of flesh. Therefore, God was in Joshua. And at this end time, our Joshua, the Holy Spirit, is in the midst of the church bride. And we will pass over Jordan on dry land. We will cross over on dry land without seeing death into the promised land of the new body. And we will be, while the earth is going through the divine judgments, we will be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, our brother William continues to say in that message, further on, he says, and now, we have seen a clear picture of what will be happening at this end time. We have seen what the Jordan is. We have seen what is the standard raised up against the enemy who will come in like a flood. He will come in like the Jordan. And in the time of the harvest is when Jordan overflows. And it is the time of the harvest when the Antichrist, whose name is Death, the pale horse rider, notice, it will overflow. Death will overflow. and God will raise up a standard against him. Because, notice, he will even rise up against Christ, that is, rising up against the second coming of Christ at this end time. Just as the serpent arose there in that vision to attack Brother Branham's friend. In other words, it's showing us there that that friend of Brother Branham in that vision was the one who was fulfilling the second coming of the Lord. As simple as that. But look at this, Brother William says, but they will not know that the Lamb has become the Lion of the tribe of Judah in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his claiming work. Now we can see the time in which we are living, the most glorious time of all times. So that when that time of squeeze comes, notice, that will be the enemy coming like a flood against the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Jordan overflowing. But we are going to go into the promised land. We have reached the end time. We have reached the time when every tree has to bring forth fruit. It has to have fruit, so that the fruit can be harvested, and so that the tree is not uprooted and cast into the fire, but instead be a tree of God's garden. Page 156 on the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 1396. It tells us, on this page 156, but in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, here, of somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, believe the word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise. For the promise of the age to be confirmed. She is watching for it. She is part of that word, and she is watching for her life to manifest that word. Brethren, can you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. There above, he writes, waiting for the promise of this age to be confirmed. Brethren, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting for, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the Spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. Yet, she feels it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens. Then she wakes up. God said, let there be. And she come forth like the first one come forth. And there on top he writes, waiting like Ruth. And he also writes further up, above the paragraph there, further up, or the Spirit to confirm, make her alive. And where it says, the word waiting for the life, which is the Spirit, there he writes, in the flesh, and he draws a cornerstone in the ages. In other words, she was waiting, notice, through the ages. Brother Branham said, when this Holy Spirit that we have among us becomes incarnate, she was waiting for that Spirit, that the Spirit may confirm it or make it life, in other words, in the flesh. And where it says, she wakes up, there to the left he draws a cornerstone. And also further up, where it says, no other life will work, there he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and a line toward the cornerstone. Now, he continues to say, And now, the blessing of the tree that produces a hundredfold is the greatest blessing that trees can have. Christ, speaking in the parable of the vine, said, I am the true vine. You are the branches. That is, the branches. And now, Christ tells us to bring forth fruit and to bring forth much fruit. Now, remember when he wrote in the booklet or in a notebook, he wrote the different portions at 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. And on the side, he wrote 100-fold, and he wrote the elect. And he wrote 60-fold, and he wrote on the side the 144,000. Let's see if we can find it here. He writes, here it is, the good ground as individual, the children of God. The elect, he wrote that on top, Gentiles, equals 100-fold. The Hebrew elect, 2 dots, 60-fold. The 144,000 Hebrews, Revelation 7:2-5 and 14 verse 1. The rest of the children of God, of the Gentiles, and the Hebrews equals 30-fold. There we have the foolish. Notice, and the rest of the Hebrews. Notice the position that they have. The 144,000 above the foolish. That is even higher than those who have been in the message from the beginning. They are placed as the last ones that brings forth fruit. And as the second ones, the 144,000. And the first ones, the church bride, the elect of God, 100-fold. Notice that it wasn't worth anything for them to begin since the beginning. And to now come the group of the 144,000 and take their position. They come to be in third place. Then, if it's that they have not crossed the line and they are even blotted out from that third position and they are also removed from there. And now, he continues saying, and now, Christ tells us to bring forth fruit and to bring forth much fruit. And whoever bears fruit, he says that he will purge him so that he will bring forth more fruit. In the Bible study, also on page here that we made for him, that I placed here, the excerpt from the Queen of Sheba, it tells us, Brother Branham says, we have went and made schools and Bible schools and seminaries and built fine buildings, but that certainly was not the commission. Then, it's all right. I can't say nothing evil against them. They played their part, but that wasn't the commission. The commission was go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel was to demonstrate the power. Just like when he writes that he commanded to preach the gospel and not to build schools, hospitals, seminaries, and things like that. It has to be. What's the next verse say? And these signs shall follow them that believe. The manifestations, the demonstrations are the work out of the word made positive. When the word is preached, signs of the word confirms the word to be true. If it doesn't, it doesn't come from the heart of faith. It doesn't anchor in the heart of faith. Did not Jesus say that some sowed seeds, and when he did it, fell by the wayside? The birds gathered them? Some went in stony ground, and reaches of the earth choked them out, like briers and so forth. And didn't he say some went over and brought forth 100-fold? See, you must first let the word fall in the right type of faith. And he writes to the left, ground equals faith. And in that faith produces what the word said, because the word is a seed. The word of God, right here, is a seed that a sower sows, and every seed will produce its kind if it's put in the right atmosphere and the right condition. And there he writes, the works of the Word made a reality. Now, our brother William continues to say, but the branch that does not bear fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. And that speaks to us of what will be happening at this end time. Notice on page 9, which is an excerpt that I placed here. And it is in the book of quotations where it speaks of only the angel of the Lord can make the separation. Which is from the message, the seed of discrepancy. Page 141, paragraph 1260, it says, here we put a little bit more, but let us read it from the book of quotations. And we will read here the writing that he placed here beside that excerpt. Notice in verse 41, Matthew 13, the two also very close, so close in the last days till he didn't do, he could not depend on some certain church to separate them, say the Methodists or the Baptists or the Pentecostals, to separate them. He said he sends his angels. He sends his angels, and he draws a cornerstone to the right to separate them. An angel is coming to bring the separation, the segregation between the right and the wrong. And no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. He is the one that is going to tell which is right, and he draws another cornerstone. He is the one that's going to tell which is right and which is wrong. God said he will send his angels at the last time, not angels down through here, but angels at the last time. And again he draws a cornerstone to the right and would gather together. There we have the work that is being carried out, that claiming work. Notice, to gather, he carries out that work pertaining to the work that he come to do. We know that this is the coming harvest time now. Notice where? In the cornerstone. That is why it could not happen down below. He says, not angels down here. That is, not through the ages, through those messengers. It has to be in an eternal age, the age of the cornerstone, where God, the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, would be manifesting. In other words, the Holy Spirit would be manifesting those ministries of Moses and Elijah. They would bring the separation, the segregation. And the only one who can do that is the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Each messenger in the ages operated with the portion that corresponded to them. He was operating in each messenger in the ages the corresponding portion. But the ministries of Moses and Elijah were not being operated in those messengers. Therefore, the harvest could not be carried out in any of the times of those messengers. The harvest could not be carried out in any of the messengers. From Paul to Brother William Soto Santiago, the harvest, the segregation between the right and the wrong, could not be carried out. It is at this time in which God is operating the ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And that's plainly said. Now, an angel is actually interpreted a messenger. And we see that there is seven angels of the seven churches. And you can find plenty of messages where our brother William speaks, because they always listen. And when they listen, then they put excerpts where brother William says that the harvest is taking place, that the reaping is taking place, that the Son of Man is operating those ministries of Moses and Elijah, carrying out that work. But notice, the separation, the segregation between right and wrong did not take place. And he bestowed that blessing upon everyone and for everyone at that time. Everyone was wheat. He was prophesying what would happen later on in the fulfillment of that scripture of Matthew chapter 13, God sending the reaping angels to carry out that work. Therefore, God had to speak it, bring it in the message. In other words, in that message that he started fully around 74. And he had to be on that date. Because on that date, the instrument in which that promise was going to be fulfilled was also being born. The message of the age of the cornerstone of the dispensation of the kingdom had to be preached. In other words, all the content of what God would be carrying out at the end of time, at the end of the dispensation of grace, where that ministry would already be grown up. And then God could, in the midst of the church bride, begin to work that promise, those prophecies, those visions that were shown in a vision to the Reverend William Branham, where God gave the most light, and in the message of Brother Branham, and in the message of the good tidings of the news that Dr. William Soto Santiago brought us. Now, it is the time for the fulfillment of all those promises, of all those prophecies, of all those visions. Now, to the left there, he writes, reaping. And above, he writes, in the separation, he will send his angels. Find me where that happened from Paul until now. Find me where, in the time of Brother Branham, that segregation took place, where it was identified by the word who was the wheat and the tares. Find me where, in the time of Brother William, that separation, that segregation was taking place. It couldn't be, because they were living in the dispensation of grace. And they would look for places where he said, we are in the dispensation of the kingdom. But since they do not have prophetic insight, and they do not have that vision from behalf of God, in other words, the revelation of what was brought in the message. Well, because it's one message alone. And therefore, they stick with the letter. They do not see the fulfillment of that letter later on. In the separation, he will send his angels. Moses and Elijah, the gathering and the harvest. He wrote that above. Which work would Moses and Elijah be carrying out? The gathering and the harvest. I think that we had a title like this once to a study. Now, also notice on page 64 of the book of quotations, paragraph 562. It tells us, Mora, the rain, former rain, planting rain has went forth. Now, what happened? The former rain was being planted. The latter rain fell. What happened? Sodom and its Sodomites burned. Abraham received the promised son. Jesus said, let them grow together. The tares will be bound, bundled, and burned. The wheat will go to the garner. See, the latter rain is just at hand. Don't you see the two harvests coming up here? And there he draws a cornerstone. The two harvests coming up here, receiving their last shower? They've come along to that last shower, see? Then what happened? The angels and the Lord disappear. Then the rain took place. And there he draws a Star of David to the right. And on top of the paragraph on 262, he writes, former rain, latter rain. Now, in this same Bible study, on page 2, I wrote this excerpt for him. And let us see what he wrote there. On that excerpt, on 562. So you can have it there. He writes, the latter rain, the promised son, Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah. Our brother William goes on to say, we have to be branches with fruit as individuals, the fruits of Christ in us, the fruits of a true Christian. It is in us as individuals. In the message, show us the Father, which is also an excerpt that I placed for him here in this study. Notice this part here, where it says, on the message, show us the Father, the Reverend William Branham says, now this is food that you need for eternal life, God in His Word. Now the Bible said that the Word of God is a seed that a sower sowed. Now, we know, you farmers here, do you know that when you sow a seed, if you sow wheat, why? It'll bring forth wheat, if it's put in proper care. You sow oats, it'll bring forth oats in its proper care. Well, that's what the Word of God is. If you take any promise of God and place it in the right atmosphere, it will produce exactly what it is in its life. Which is the right atmosphere? That is, placing that word in the right atmosphere, that is in the right ground? It is in the elect of God. And he writes there, the word produces after its kind. And our brother William goes on to say, and in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the mystical body of believers, the church must bear the fruits, just as the sons and daughters of God are the fruit of the church, which come through the life of Christ, manifested in the bride tree, the wheat plant, the bride, the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on page 108, from the Book of Quotations, paragraph 946, it tells us there, this life that's in the Word, the germ, and on germ he writes soul. And above the paragraph, there he writes, the germ, the life is in the Word. And there he draws three circles, a small one, a bigger, and one even bigger, and like wheat ears going up. This life that's in the Word, the germ that's in the seed. And the Word is a seed that a sower went forth to sow. And the life is Christ. And he writes HS, that is Holy Spirit. There on top of is Christ, he writes HS. And the life is Christ in the Word, personally in you, vindicating something that you cannot do, proving himself that it's not you, but it's him. And you've become one, a love slave to him, to be a bride. And he writes, vindicating. And above he writes, the Word is the seed. And you've become one, a love slave to him, to be a bride. And in the Bible study, beside that excerpt, he writes, the life is Christ in the Word. We have seen, like this, a bit briefly, this whole great mystery of this subject that we have for today, which, as he told us there, about this subject, the blessing of the tree that produces a hundredfold, and he tells us that with the naked eye, you may see it doesn't have much. But notice, we can say that the subject, one of the important subjects of this end time, because it is the subject where the work of harvest, of reaping, is carried out. Because we have reached the time where the wheat is gathered, and so are the tares. And to conclude, there is a part where he says that the tares will be gathered, and once it's gathered, then the rapture will come. It should be in the Book of the Ages, the book edited, or in the unedited one. Let's see if we can find it real quick. That when the tares are gathered together, it's after that comes the rapture. And this red one is 320 of the book in Spanish, blue is 317, in the book in English is 285. We were about to conclude, but let us read this part here. Thus the grain of wheat that became a plant for the harvest, and he writes, the wheat, is the record of the church. And even as not all the wheat plant is wheat seed, and as not all the plant is used in the harvest, so with the church. All the church is not the bride. See? Did you see that? And neither it is all given eternal life, but a part of it is gathered into the garner, and a part of it is kept that he might enter into eternal life in the second resurrection. And he writes, one part, one, the one that is gathered into the garner. And on another part he writes, two, those are the foolish, that he might enter into eternal life in the second resurrection. And part, he writes, three, of it which is accounted chaff is burnt in the lake of fire. And this is exactly what John the Baptist and Jesus said. For John said that the wheat would be gathered and the chaff burnt. Luke 3:17. Jesus said, bind the tares and then gather the wheat. Now, notice, here he places the part that is gathered in the garner, and he places the other part which is kept to eternal life in the second resurrection, that is after the millennium. But notice there he doesn't speak to us about that group of the 144,000 who resurrect after the great tribulation, and those are in the millennium. Therefore, they are a higher category than this other part, which is kept for eternal life after the resurrection at the end of the millennium. Jesus said, number four, there he wrote that, bind the tares and then gather the wheat. Matthew 13:30, the ecumenical move will bind the tares, church, together, for the tares must be bound first. And though their end is burning, they're not burned as they're binding, but are reserved to a later date, which is at the end of the 1,000 years, or the second resurrection. But once the tares are bound, the rapture can take place, and thus so at some time between the binding and the revelation of Antichrist. There is, in other words, there is where it is made known, he's exposed. Just like that mamba, that serpent on the highway, was exposed there in that vision, and no longer had. It is like when you see a serpent on the road or highway. Everyone sees it there. But as long as it's among the weeds, zigzagging, and doing all those wrongdoings and everything, and we could say so much there, because it's among the weeds that seed, those tares, that serpent, has been hiding, harming the children of God, and it could not be identified, it was not known. It was hidden among the weeds, zigzagging along, very subtle, like the serpent is. But then when it's exposed, it can't hide from anything then, and it is on that narrow highway. Then will come the day when all stand together as seen in Daniel. There he writes, the rapture after the tares are gathered. The king will be there with his bride, and in front of them will be the multitudes who are to be judged. Yes, all are there. All the books are open. A final disposition of all is made. The harvest is indeed over. The books once open are closed. And above he writes, the judgment equals the spiritual one, after the seventh age. The sower sowing the seed of the word. Let us stand. And thus leave
en este tema, in el this subject, the sower sowing the seed of the word, a nuestro amado our hermano dear y brother amigo, and friend, el doctor, Dr. William Soto Santiago.